you would miss lunch. Because I would go on for a while. I'd never even get to my message. And I never get tired of telling it. That's exactly right. When we can proclaim and announce and share with others what God has done in our life, it really is a tremendous thing. Well, today, Easter Sunday, more importantly, Resurrection Sunday. Oh, I got to tell you, I'm almost so excited it's hard to deliver the message. I really am. You may not be able to tell, but inside, I'm wound up. That's exactly right. Wound up tight. The excitement of the day. And, you know, I think of no better way than to start this message. We're going to read scripture right off the bat. And I'm going to read from John chapter 20 to you. And I'm going to read the first 18 verses of John chapter 20. If you have a Bible, please open it. If you have it, whether it's a physical one like what I'm holding in my hand, whether it's on your phone or on a tablet, I'm good with all those ways. I got to tell you, many days throughout the week, the way I read the word is on my tablet. I carry it with me. Yes, John chapter 20. I'm going to be reading the first 18 verses. And I got to tell you, there are many different translations that you can read from. I just hope you read one of them. I hope you're spending time in one of them. There are people that love the King James. There are people who love the NIV. There are people who love the ESV, the NASB, the Message, the list could go on, couldn't it? The CSB. I read from the CSB about 2 or 3 weeks ago in my message. I think it threw a few people because the words didn't really match up. But if you understand, the meaning behind it is the same. So regardless of your translation, I'm reading out of the New King James today. And so I want you to follow along and read the words that we hear in John's letter, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. This is God's word. Now, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter. Obviously, he must have been in better shape. Probably like me, right? But he outran him to the tomb. As they both ran together, sorry, I just read that to you. As they both ran together, the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also and said, and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. And here we go. Here we go. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" "Because they have taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know who he was, did not recognize him. Jesus said to her, this time Jesus saying it, "Woman, why are you weeping? Why are you crying? Whom are you seeking?" She's supposing him to be the gardener. Remember that. We're going to talk about that in a second. Supposing to be the gardener, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, Mary. Can you imagine the second time? Now he says to her, Mary. And she said to him, Rabboni, which means teacher in Aramaic. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. This is the reading of God's word. What a powerful, powerful story. Now I got to tell you, you can't help on Resurrection Sunday but to talk about death. You have to. And I got to tell you, in our world today, death is explained many different ways. People have their thoughts. People have their ideas. And to be honest with you, every one of these that I read, they leave me wanting a little bit, if that makes sense. I hear what they say. Some of them make sense. Some of them do. Some of them make me scratch my head, to be honest with you. Because I'm not sure what they're trying to say. I'm not sure that they know what they're trying to say. You know, death itself seems a bit disordered. Death itself seems even a little bit wrong. You know, I've heard grief as I've done many funerals and attended many funerals. I've heard grief described that it comes at you in waves, as if the grief of a loss will overwhelm 1 minute and subside and then come crashing back in and then be nearly absent the next. If any of you have ever suffered the death of a loved one or someone close, you probably understand this. It just hits you and keeps coming back to you. Grief really is this inexplicable pain. Death is a loss beyond all other losses. We can lose money. We can lose a friendship. We can lose a job. We can lose something at the house. We can lose our keys. Right, Benita? Where'd she go? I don't know where she is. It's a little joke Benita and I have. But loss is very unique. It's a loss like no other loss. And I got to tell you, as we read these words about Mary, Mary felt this loss. She felt it. She felt the loss of a friend. She felt the loss of her teacher. She felt the loss of her guide. The grief that would come to any of us because of losing a loved one or a friend, yet it was compounded by the fact that she had this loss of hope. She felt, where is the hope? Because at the end of the day, she thought Jesus was the Messiah. She thought he was the one. She thought he would rise up and free them from their oppressors. She thought he would be the one to come and rescue them from poverty, from hardship, make it all better. Right? How many of us would like to have that, right? Make it all better. A powerful hope for a woman. And I say that because you need to understand, if you do not read history and understand cultural context, a powerful hope for a woman in a world that looked down on her. Women had no place in that world. Women, ladies today, they did not experience the freedoms that you have today. The things that should be right for all people. Women were not looked that way. To be honest with you, this may be shocking to you. Women were a possession. Your husband, your father, possessed you, owned you. You didn't have rights. That's the world that she lived in. And now the one hope that she clung to died. Gone. Buried. Her grief was so incredible that she had to just be there at the tomb alone, probably shaking her head, her hands covering her face. I can picture her in my mind's eye, probably crying. You know, John tells us that she was there alone. And while the other gospel accounts say that there were others there, the one thing you need to understand, maybe you've picked up on it, maybe you haven't. Not only was Mary there, but the other people who stayed were women as well. They were women as well. Speaks well of you women. You seem to understand things that us men don't understand. No amens on that at all. I figured I'd get a few of you ladies to say something about that. I figured my own wife might say something about that. She was going to the tomb at a time that would have been dangerous for her. Dangerous as a follower of Jesus. Because now that he had died, now that he had been killed, if you were to be a known follower of her, or of him, I changed genders right there. Woo! If you were a follower of Jesus, your life might be in danger. It was dangerous for her to be there. But Mary still went. She still went. You know, maybe she thought that they would discredit her just because of her gender. Ah, it's just a woman. What does she know? That's what would have been said at that time. I'm not saying that today. I saw one of you out there go, I'm not saying that. Don't misunderstand. But that's what would have been said then. Or maybe her grief compelled her to be bold, to be brave. She was going to show up no matter what. She was going to show up to try to understand. So there she is, Sunday morning. There she is, tears in her eyes, grief in her heart. And then what happens? She witnesses the miracle of all miracles. She shows up and the tomb is empty because he has risen. He has risen. Now, I got to tell you, as we read in the scripture, she shows up and Jesus appears to her, but she doesn't recognize him. This is what I talked about earlier when I read the gardener. I think Mary believes that he was just a gardener at first. Woman, who is it that you look for? She didn't realize who he was. Now, I got to tell you, spending time studying theology, studying scripture, I think John is illustrating a theological truth here. I'm not sure how many people catch it. I hope every one of you, because I'm hoping that every one of you are tremendous theologians. Amen? So maybe I'm just telling you what you already know. That what happened here, it's happening in a garden. The whole reason why we're here is because of what happened in a garden. Think about that. What happened back at the beginning of the book that we read? Sin entered the world in a garden. And now here we are again. Sin being conquered in a garden. And Jesus is a gardener of sorts. He causes life to grow where there is once death. So he's a gardener. It makes sense that she doesn't recognize him because everything she just experienced, everything that she knew, the hope that she had lost, gone. She had just seen him die. She's in this garden, so it makes sense to her to believe, who's this gardener talking to me? Who is this guy? While there's theological truth and depth to John's writing here about gardens and gardeners, Mary wouldn't have been making those deep theological connections. Let's just be honest. That's not where she was. She just knew she was a disciple. She was a follower of Christ. Honestly, she just knows that her friend had just died. And she missed him. I got to tell you, that's me thinking into it. But I've got to believe she missed him. She missed him. She would have been sitting there in deep grief, not just at the loss of a friend, but as I said earlier, the loss of hope. The loss of the hope of him freeing her and freeing us, freeing all the people. She's crying out in deep pain. And if you've experienced loss, if you've experienced death, you probably know what deep pain means. If you've lost a loved one. You know, when you've lost a loved one who's very close to you, sometimes it's hard to even focus on anything but the pain of the moment. Right? Lost a loved one, it's just hard to focus on anything but the loss. You know, there's been studies done today. There's been studies done about the effect of grief on people. They've actually said in your brain, there's parts of your brain that literally will shut down. And it'll shut down basic functions when we are faced with extreme emotions. The emotions of a loss. Unnecessary tasks are almost impossible to do, aren't they? When you experience deep grief, sometimes it's hard just to get out of bed. Sometimes it's hard, you know, you got to make breakfast for the kids. You got to get them clothed. Sometimes those are hard things to do because the brain shuts down certain parts because of this. Her one source of hope was coming from her ability. It was coming from her ability to honor his body, to honor him in a proper burial. And her grief was compounded by the fact that the body was gone. The body was gone. She finds herself not really caring about anything else, the danger that she perhaps might be in, because she wanted to know where his body was. Where is he? And then the blinders are lifted, right? The blinders are lifted. Mary recognizes him when he speaks her name. When her name is spoken, there is a powerful, powerful moment of recognition. I hope you believe this statement I'm about to make. Simply being named by Jesus is tremendously powerful. Tremendously powerful. Jesus sees her, knows her, calls her out. She's not just another person standing there grieving. Honestly, she is a disciple of Jesus. She is a disciple who loves him. It is out of her naming and recognition of Jesus that she is told to do what? Sit down and cry. No. That's not what she was told. She was told to go. She was told to go. In essence, Jesus is commissioning her as an evangelist at this point. Go. Go tell others. She is given the task that wouldn't be given to a woman in this world. Because honestly, her going to tell, some people would be like, it's just a woman. Don't get mad at me. Don't come up and talk to me later. That's not me saying it. That's not me. Just telling you the culture. But she is no longer just Mary. She is Mary who has seen the risen Christ. She is Mary the evangelist. Whew. First one. Now I got to tell you, we are a resurrection community. We, like Mary and all the disciples, we are called out of sin. We are called out of death. We live in hopeful expectation that just as Christ has raised, we too will be raised. With that hope, and in that hope, we go like Mary to share the news of a risen Christ and the hope of resurrection in the world that we live in. You are called to go and do that. We find the dead places of our world, and let's be honest, there's a few. There's many. We go and we breathe resurrection into them. We breathe that truth into the dead areas of our world. We join with the Holy Spirit. We ask for the Holy Spirit to come and work in us and through us, sowing seeds of resurrection. We should walk boldly despite the dangers that might exist. Let's be honest, there's workplaces where you probably get fired for sharing your faith. We need to go boldly. There are places in this world where you go, and just the fact of being known as a Christ follower, you could be killed immediately. Immediately. And we are called to go, and to go boldly. We talked about that a few days ago, about going boldly. We talked about it on Good Friday. We are to illuminate dark places. We are to bring the light of Christ into the dark corners of our world. We find those who are locked in rooms in fear. Well, kind of like the disciples. And we share with them the news. They do not need to live in fear any longer. The way to resurrection is through death. Living the resurrected life means walking the hard road to the cross. This means laying down our greed, our selfishness, our pride, etc., etc., etc. There's a lot of things we could lay in that list. It also means we lay down our very lives for those around us. It means doing hard things. It means going to unexpected places. It means going and doing even when it doesn't make sense to us. Have you felt the tug of God in your life speaking into your ear? Maybe in that ever so soft voice. Go. Go. Or are you willing? Are you willing? Are you willing to go and share? Sometimes God calls you to crazy places and do crazy things. I just give you the heads up. Sometimes you might find yourself, as I did a year ago, in Ecuador. Why in the world would I ever go to Ecuador? Lachlan. Yeah, you go to crazy places like Lachlan. You guys make me laugh. He calls us to go and share the gospel. You know, I bring up Ecuador to you for a reason. I had the opportunity to go because I felt God asking me to go down there. I was part of a team. And we went down and shared Christ. We went into parks. We went all over the place. We went into homes to share the word of Christ. It just so happened, I got to tell you, I had not thought through this before I left. Hadn't even thought about it when I had landed in Quito, Ecuador, which is their capital, by the way. Only place where you can find an airport in that country. And as we went out to the villages, it just so happened that I was in Ecuador over what we call Halloween here in the United States. In Ecuador, they don't call it Halloween. They call it the Day of the Dead. And it is a tremendously you think we celebrate Easter? You think we celebrate Christmas in this country? You have no idea how they celebrate the Day of the Dead. I found myself in this very small village. on the night of Halloween, as we refer to it. And I cannot describe to you the evil that you felt in the air. And I say felt it because I could feel it and touch it as much as I could touch that plant right now. You could taste it in the air. We were actually told that there are parts of outside into the jungle, because part of the jungle actually reaches into the eastern part of Ecuador. And there were actually child sacrifices going on just a year ago, to this day, on the Day of the Dead. The evil there is tremendous. It's overpowering. We are called to go into the world and shine the light of hope, to shine the truth of Jesus, and bang on microphones. The resurrection community should not fear the worst places, but should seek to bring hope into them. The resurrection community finds the darkest, most dangerous places that the world has cast away or cast out, and we are to cast light into them. The resurrection community knows that in the power of the Spirit, hard things can be accomplished. Crazy things can be accomplished. There is resurrection in all circumstances. For places embroiled, in racism, sexism, any form of hate, there is resurrection truth. For places that are consumed by poverty and hopelessness, there is hope in resurrection. For places battling drought and disease, there is resurrection hope. For places overcome by violence, there is resurrection hope. As a resurrection community, we are called to be the ones to go and bring the truth of resurrection. Even when it is hard, even when it is difficult, even when it seems crazy. God, why would I go there? I heard one of you say back there, Lachlan. I remember making that statement. And I don't mean this offensive. I've told you that before. I remember when God started tugging on my heart that I want you to go to Lachlan. I went, what in the world for? I don't mean that offensively. I really don't. But why in the world would I go to Lachlan? I mean, this is like, you know, the hub, the center of Cincinnati, right? All the things go on here, all the wonderful things. We have museums, we have great jobs, we have lots of stores. Everything's happening right here, right? Maybe I'm in a different Lachlan, I guess. But he calls us to do those things. Are you willing to go? I got to tell you, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that he asked me to go. I have made tremendous friends. I have met incredible people by coming. I've had the opportunity to share Christ with people. I've had the opportunity to have a young man stand in this building when we talked about reading from the Bible, and he said this statement. Now, this was 2017 in the United States of America. In Cincinnati, in Lachlan, Ohio. What's a Bible? What's a Bible? We had a young man stand in this church and ask that very question. What is a Bible? Resurrection community, where are you? We need to be sharing and sharing and sharing and casting the light of hope into our community. So that we don't have young men, and okay, men might be a little bit of a stretch. He was about 8 years old, so he's still a boy, I suppose. But how does an 8-year old living in this country in this day and this time not know what a Bible is? The resurrection truth needs to be shared. We are a community of resurrection. Knowing Jesus was alive was not enough for Mary. We remember and celebrate that Christ is risen this morning. But it is not enough for us just to come, wear my best suit, because I did wear my best suit and my little kerchief. This is about as good as I can get, folks. This is my best suit. my nicest shirt. It even has cufflinks. Don't get used to it. I don't wear it every week. It's not about us coming and looking pretty and looking nice and sharing with the Easter bunny eggs. That's all fun. I like it. Trust me, I like Easter. I like the Easter bunny eggs. But it's not enough. It wasn't enough for Mary, and it shouldn't be enough for us. We remember and celebrate that Christ is risen this morning. And we, like Mary, we are called to go and tell others. We are called to breathe resurrection, to live resurrection. That might be the harder task. Not just breathe and tell resurrection, but to live a resurrected life, to sing resurrection, to do work of the resurrected world in hopes that the dead places might come to life and that they may also join this community of the resurrected. Our music team is going to come forward at this time. And I'm going to close in prayer. And I would ask you to join with me in prayer. Are you a part of the resurrected community? I hope that you are. My desire, my prayer, my every ounce of my being is that you are a part of the resurrected community, that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So I'm challenging you now to go. To go and tell. To go and share the word of Christ in our dark communities. So if you'll pray with me at this time. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we celebrate your resurrection. We celebrate today that you have risen and conquered death. Father, we want to be a part of that resurrected community. Speak into our lives. Tell us where and what it is that you would want us to share. Perhaps maybe even where you would want us to go. Soften our hearts to what it is that you would have us say. Father, we want to be the resurrected community. Father, again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity for our community of believers to gather into your house, to enter into your presence, and to lift up your name. Father, we praise you, we love you, and it's in the name of Jesus we pray these things. Amen.